Welcome back to the Business Systems Summit. I'm your host, David Jennings, and in this session, we're going to be chatting with one of the only repeat summit guests. I deliberately selected a completely new lineup this year. However, one guest at our last event shared one of their internal systems, but it's not the system they're most well known for. Now, the man of the moment is Adam Houlihan, and he's the author of a couple of Amazon bestsellers. There's the LinkedIn Playbook, and also Social Media Secret Sauce. And he's got just a real deep knowledge when it comes to business, having owned and run six companies himself, with his current business really focusing in on solving the problem that all businesses have, which is around generating more leads. And he uses a variety of different methods, but he's most well known for leveraging the power of LinkedIn. And he's even coaching me right now as we go through the process of ramping up my profile for the summit launch. So depending on when you're watching this and you saw the activity going on my profile, Adam's work really has had a direct impact on that. So it's with great pleasure that I get to welcome back Adam to the summit.
Thanks, Dave. And it's an absolute honor to be one of the few coming back.
Yes, back by popular demand. And I know in this session, we've got a lot to cover because you're really going to dive in on your system or your process for the way that you optimize LinkedIn profiles. So I thought maybe just to start, the best way is if you can just identify the problem that this particular system aims to solve, and then, yeah, we'll just go through it step by step.
Sure, love to. So yeah, it's a good place to start is the, you know, if I give you some numbers, probably will make it quite clear how big the problem is. Like currently there's around 630 million people on LinkedIn, but 95% of those profiles are not actually optimized correctly, which means that they literally don't even get found in searches. Unless, you know, I specifically know who you are, I could go and find your profile, but if nobody tends to search for Dave Jennings, they'll search for, you know, the solution they're looking for, and what you need to do is come up in that search. So what this process solves is exactly that, so that you understand fully what's required to optimize your profile correctly based on what LinkedIn deems to be properly optimized, so that you start to show up in all those searches.
And it's I almost like to think that you've magically timed your moment perfectly when it comes to the rise of LinkedIn, because at the moment, you know, that platform's really exploding, but you've been on that space for so long. You're like quite a deep subject matter expert. I don't know, just before we start, can you speak to any of the trends that you're seeing on LinkedIn as far as like rising engagement and just the higher adoption of that platform?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing is it's still one of the fastest growing, I'd go as far as to say it is the fastest growing platform for business sort of use of social media. Just 3 months ago, you know, I just shared with the number 630 million people on LinkedIn. 3 months ago, it was 610. So 20 million new people joined in the last few months. And that's just the normal level of growth. So what the LinkedIn definitely has been through is quite a few iterations over the years. I mean, if you think back to right to day one, where not many of us were probably active on it, but it was really just a place to have your resume and it was kind of almost like a job site. Today, it's really, if I drew a line in the sand as to where the real acceleration of LinkedIn started was probably when it was purchased by Microsoft. Now, obviously, having now the might and power of the Microsoft backing, I mean, they paid $26 billion for LinkedIn. So clearly, they had some real plans around, you know, where it was going to go, and where it's gone is it's really become a content platform. So you know, how you really leverage it best now is exactly what you're doing right now, starting to share you know, really good quality content. And positioning yourself as an authority in that space. But the first part of doing that is, of course, your profile has to reflect what it is you do, who you are, and who you serve.
Perfect. So let's, yeah, go through that step by step. How do we make our profile magnetic?
Cool. Okay. So there's a number of steps, but the first one is, and probably the what I would recommend to anyone that's tuning in, is jump on either my profile or your own profile right now as you're listening, and so you can see this in a visual form. But the very first thing you're going to see at the top is like a background banner. Most likely, the high majority of people leave that as just the placeholder that LinkedIn puts there, which is kind of just like this sort of blue background with a few lines and whatever through it. But realistically, this is the most visual part of your profile. So when people first click onto that link, this is the thing they're going to see first. So it's really golden opportunity to give a visual representation of what you're all about. Now, really what we recommend is there's three different ways that you could go about doing that. One is basically like a promotional banner. So you might be promoting a product or service or your company or whatever it is you do. So there's very clear outline as to what you're all about. The other way, of course, is to position yourself as kind of like a personal authority. So if you're a speaker, you might visually be representing that, showing an image of you on stage in front of an audience or something like that. It's what we call a hero shot. And the final way is, and which I think is one of the most powerful ways, is to just really, in written form, in no more than two sentences, just clearly outline what it is you do and who it is you serve. I'll give you some links to a few profiles that are doing this really well, so people can go and actually see what that looks like. In my opinion, that's about the most powerful way to quickly get your message across. And it obviously allows people to just quickly go, yep, I'm into that, or no, that's not for me. And just as an aside, I think that a lot of people get still caught up in the quantity over quality of connections. LinkedIn has actually got a 30,000 cap. You can only have 30,000 first degree connections. And, understandably, if you've got 500 right now, 30,000 seems unobtainable anyway. But I guarantee you, as you go through this process, your profile will get found in a lot more searches. So you want to be fairly strategic in who you're who you're connecting with. So giving that visual representation is a very easy way of giving people the ability to understand whether you're a good fit to them and vice versa.
Yeah, perfect. That makes sense. I think that's the first step, really. If it's almost like identifying your target audience when you're thinking about marketing, you do that right up front so that your message speaks specifically to that person and someone can say, yep, this is for me. So I think some good tips there. Where do you move next?
So from there, it's not very far, just over to, if you're looking on desktop to the left, which is your profile image, that's the image of yourself. The biggest mistake I see is people look using this to put a company logo or something like that. Not that they'll likely do anything about it, but within LinkedIn's terms of service, it says that it actually has to be an image of yourself. But the reality is it should also be an image of yourself. And it should be a relatively recent image of yourself. The downside, if you don't, I see this all the time, I'll give you a couple of examples. I had someone 6 months ago reach out to me and said, "Hey Adam, heard about you guys. I'd love to have a chat and see if you can help us with our LinkedIn strategy." And we've decided to do that on Zoom like we are now. And of course, I've got this image in my mind of this lady in her 30s. And when we connected on Zoom, it's a lady in her 60s. So now, not that there's an issue with that, except that I was expecting something different. Not so bad when they're reaching out to me, but if you're doing that in reverse, so you're the one reaching out to people, there's just this, it's kind of like an immediate disconnect.
Almost like a bait and switch.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this kind of bit of distrust that gets created when that image is
kind of not congruent with the profile. And I see this on so many profiles. The other one, as a personal example, had a face-to-face meeting with somebody, was expecting a guy of a certain size to turn up, and his profile image was about 25 kilos out of date. So again, not an issue, but the fact that I was just expecting something else, and then this rather different looking individual turned up.
Yeah.
So, keep it, within a couple of years. Also keep in mind, especially for the one challenge we have with one of our clients is she constantly changes the color of the hair. And so we've got to keep updating a profile image because you want to keep that congruency. But apart from that, all I would say is that the other thing is, you want to have that a really clean background, what you'd see in my background now with an image in the background and whatever. You don't want any of that. You just want the profile image, head and shoulders as a maximum. And if there's any sort of focus, you'd have the focus on the eyes, the eyes being the window to the soul, so to speak. So that's the thing that attracts people. And as humans, if we could heat map a LinkedIn profile, if we can't, but if we could, I guarantee you that the thing that would be the most viewed would be that profile image and that background image. I'd probably find 80% of the first interaction with that profile would be those.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, what's the next part we optimize?
If we just keep working down, underneath that is what we call the professional headline. So LinkedIn, it is something where you can decide what to put in there. However, if you don't put anything in there, LinkedIn will just import your current position description. So whatever title you use there will get imported and put there, so there's something there. But I would highly recommend that you think that through as to a more powerful way to use that. And how that is one of two things or a combination of both. This is an area when a profile is properly optimized that LinkedIn is using to decide where to show you in searches. So one or two really strong keywords up in this area is very, very powerful. Again, if you looked at my profile, you'll see it says something like LinkedIn expert, best-selling author, the type of things that I would want to be found for in searches. And then you can have that, like we were talking about in the potentially up in the profile image or the background image, I should say, is just a quick little outline of who it is you serve. So this area is limited to 150 characters. So you've got to be succinct and on point. But I'd highly recommend that you at least at the bare minimum use a few keywords for search purposes.
When it comes to search and them interpreting profile, that's obviously one of the key areas. Would that be one of the strongest ranking factors as far as seeing the wording in that particular area?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think they have to put a lot of the keywords into their actual profile, like the summary or position descriptions. It does help, but they're very much secondary. There's three areas that LinkedIn uses the most. This is one of them. Second and third we'll get to as we go down the chain, so to speak. But yes, it is definitely for search purposes very, very important to put something there.
Yeah. All right. Well, then as we head down that chain, what's next area we focus on?
So next is your actual summary. Now, the summary section is optional. So again, a lot of the mistakes I see people make is not actually even have one. So you do have to go into the settings if you haven't activated and select, yes, I want to put a summary. Now, the summary is the first part that people are going to get to of your profile where there's any written information. So it is very, very important to have it there. And it's very important to make it very compelling, mostly about yourself. In normal terms, we're talking about, that marketing should be not about ourselves, but in this case, there should be a degree of, and when I say about yourself, I mean, what is it that motivates you to do what you do? What is it you're great at doing? What's your claims to fame? Like what are you known for? These sort of things. And there's an actual which you know we'll share with everyone at the end. There's an actual sort of like a process that we recommend step by step to do that. And this area is limited to 2,000 characters. So everything on LinkedIn works in character counts, not word counts. So 2,000 characters, it's the ballpark 250 words, depending on how big a word you use. But it's so again, it's an opportunity to let people delve into, you know, the person behind the profile, so to speak. So that's it's very important that you make sure you do have the summary, and that you write it very much in the first person. Again, often I see people doing it in the third person, which is it's almost like putting a barrier between you. It's not like a one-to-one conversation. It's third person is very impersonal and doesn't work well in this scenario.
Yeah. Broad brush strokes, that structure, not necessarily huge detail. Are there some key things you want to have in there? I'm imagining some sort of hook at the start. You'd also want some sort of call to action near the end, potentially.
Correct,
In broad brush strokes, what are some of those key components?
Yeah, so it's your name, what we call claim to fame. So, you know, if you looked at mine, it'll say, you know, author of 3 Amazon best-selling books or, you know, whatever it is. An insight. So, you know, what's your insight into, you know, whatever it is you do? So in my case, it says, you know, it says something along the lines of, you know, I'd like a dollar for every time people ask me, you know, what's the value of being on social media? And it is, you get to stay in business. So that's kind of like an insight. Then you go into basically you want people to be able to connect with what it is important to them. What is important to them, number one, is they want to get a problem solved. That's what they're actually looking for. So you want to outline your understanding of that market's problem and, of course, how you go about solving that problem. So the problem it is and your solution to that problem is part of that framework. From there, we'd like to move into a bit of your personal why. Like, why is it you get up and do what you do every day? And then, if, like you said, the last thing always is a call to action. The call to action can be as simple and as connect with me here on LinkedIn. That simple. But yes, everything should always end with that call to action.
Yeah, perfect. All right, and we're moving down this profile. What's the next area you like to focus on?
Yeah, so after the summary, then we get to the position description. And this is where you outline, you know, albeit it's called a position description, you can actually put whatever you like there. So what I believe is the best way to do it is to put a bit of a, you know, outline of what your business is all about. Now, if you are a team member of a particular business, then you might have two. You might have one that's about the business itself and one about the role it is that you do. But for general purposes in, say, lead generation, we're not really too concerned about what the individual does. It's what the business does. You know, what's the reason for that business existing? Again, you know, the personal, not the personal why, but why does the business exist? Like, what's the big thing in this world that, you know, your business is here to solve? And of course, another call to action at the end, but that call to action would be different. So it might be, you know, to visit my website, or it might be to book a one-to-one call, or, you know, whatever it is. There could be multiple forms, but there should only be one. So at these points too, you can also put what they call media links. So they're like links to a website or links to a landing page or things like that. So it is quite good to have a visual representation of a next step. So the call to action could again be just as simple as click on the link below to do whatever it is that, you know, you'd like people to do. So that's the and again, you have another 2,000 characters of text here. So it's an opportunity to go much deeper than where the summary was mostly about you and what you stand for. Position description is about the business and what the business stands for.
Yeah. And you mentioned about the links. Are they adding media links? Are they active links? Like yes. That can be clicked and then open? Because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, in the description right at the top, that's it's all text.
Correct. Yeah, well, like under the summary, you can put links as well. But the, and again, a mistake I often see is people put the link to their website in the written part. And of course, because they're not clickable hyperlinks, someone would literally have to copy and paste that to a browser, as opposed to the media link where they can just click on that and go straight to your website or straight to your, you know, your sign up page for your webinar or whatever it is that you know, is that next step.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. All right. And then so we move down now underneath the position description.
Actually, we're still in the position description, but this is the second area where LinkedIn uses for those searches is the title that you put here. So again, lots of people use something like owner, general manager, CEO, whatever they may be. And that's fine, except that if I'm looking for a solution to, you know, business systems, I'm not going to do a search saying I'm looking for the CEO of a business that does systemization. I'm going to use the term, you know, systems or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very much more valuable to put a keyword again here. Like, again, if you looked at mine, there's virtually nowhere on my profile. I'm the profile, I'm the CEO of our company, but almost nowhere will you see that term used because it's just a redundant term. In my position description, you'll see it'll say social media strategist and LinkedIn expert. So I'm actually getting two keywords in there. So it's far more valuable to again, like the section we talked about at the top in the professional headline, to use a couple of those strong keywords instead of CEO or general manager, or you know, there's also terms like that I see a lot, like chief inspiration officer. Great title, love it. It's fantastic for an email signature or on your business card or anything like that, but completely redundant because nobody's going to search for that term. So you know, use it more around a strategic keyword play than anything else.
Yeah, I like this because it's about finding that intersection between what we know LinkedIn is using to get our profile out for as many searches as possible, but then also thinking the user will land on this profile as well and making sure that we're sort of engaging them as much as possible. So what's the next section after that?
So the next section down, again, we're getting back into these ones that are optional to put on there. But one that you definitely need to put on there is around your education. If you don't put it there, you can't get your profile to what is called All-Star. All-Star just means that you've activated all the sections that LinkedIn want you to activate to then show you in searches. So some of them are optional, but some of them are absolutely necessary. Education is one of them. Now, the thing is that, you know, if you haven't been to university or whatever, it's fine. I openly tell you, I got thrown out of school in year 12, asked never to come back, and, you know, hasn't kind of affected my life, but I'm not going to put, you know, failed year 12. So, yeah, so if you go on mine, I put mine as a course I did called the Key Person of Influence.
Yeah.
One that I see often used is, you know, a student of life or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It could, if you've done sort of a TAFE course or anything you like, it doesn't really matter what you put there. The key thing is you have to put something there. You can't get the All-Star ranking if you don't have it there. And of course, if you have, you know, completed some form of degree or whatever, well, this is the area where you want to outline that more so than, you know, again, I see a lot of people putting in the professional headline, you know, a whole bunch of, letters and whatever you get when you do a degree at university. And it's just not, that's not the place to use it. Down here in the education place is the section to use that.
Question as well, to go back to the position description above, and we're thinking about potentially holding different positions. Is that something that you advise? Like, does it become a resume listing out all of the things that you have done, or is your preference to focus in on the roles most relevant to whatever you're currently promoting or working in?
It's a good question. So it depends on how you want to use your profile. So if it's something where, you know, a lot of years of experience in multiple roles would be of value to people to know, then by all means, you would list some of those roles. The other thing I see often, people go too far. They go back to the paper job they had as a 16-year-old kid. You know, you don't need to go back that far, but only include them if the person you're trying to connect with would see value in knowing about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Personally, I think, you know, in the majority of cases where we're talking about business owners and we're talking about lead generation, the more valuable use of that area will be to keep it very, very much, very, very clear about the company and potentially about a product or service. So you can have a second one. If you go online, you'll see I've got multiple ones there where I'm actually outlining products or services that we supply. Totally okay to do that. And much more valuable than, you know, as you sort of said in the intro, I've had, like, you know, owned or run six businesses, but you know, my days as the general manager of an organic skincare company don't hold much sway to, you know, being, you know, what I do in LinkedIn these days. So you know, you won't see that on my profile.
One other little tip, and it's not so, well, maybe it is around the optimization. I saw you'd mentioned in one of your Facebook groups, actually, was around when you do make that update, everybody knows when you add a new position in there. So it can be a great way to launch a product or service. It pops up in people's feeds and it's very easy for them to like that, you know, new position update. And then that creates an opportunity to engage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it used to be that any update you made on your profile, LinkedIn would notify your entire first degree network. And of course, that became quite annoying. So, and then they did give you an option to turn that off if you wanted to. Now they don't do any of that unless you actually are uploading a new position description. That is a time when they will notify your entire network. And as you say, there is a little way of using that very strategically to get something new or whatever out in front of a target audience. It's something we do when we're running our webinars every 12 weeks. We'll upload a position description that's kind of about the webinar. And so we get visibility onto that to you know, thousands of people.
Yes, yeah. And we used that same strategy when we launched the podcast as well. Yep. So that was all right. So then we kind of moved down. We're now underneath the education component. What's the next step?
There's another section there that, again, is optional. However, if it is relevant, I would add it, which is around any form of volunteer experience. Now, there is some data shared from LinkedIn about how much more attractive a profile is if you're involved in any form of community, sort of community-type projects. So if you, as I said, you don't need to add it if you're not, but if you are, then it's definitely something worth putting on there. So in mine, I have, you know, about, you know, my involvement with, buy one, give one that you would know yeah. about. So something like that is perfectly fine. You know, you might just do, some volunteering work at Christmas time or whatever. That's fine. Just, you know, whatever it is, if you have any sort of community sort of involvement, by all means, add that in there.
Yeah, perfect. And then we're almost coming up to the very tail end of that profile now. What's the last couple?
So the next one that's really important is around your skills and endorsements. Again, you can turn this off or on. I highly recommend that you have it on because this is the third area that we were talking about that LinkedIn uses to show you in searches. Now, you can have 50 skills and endorsements, but the top three are the critical ones because they're the only three that would show on your profile without somebody wanting to, you know, go and look further and click into that and open that area up. So those three, the first three, should again align back up with, we're talking about the professional headline and the job title. Mm. So you should reuse those ones in those first three there. And you don't have to think of them like skills, just think of them purely like keywords, because that's what LinkedIn uses them for. Now, there used to be a train of thought that these were a complete waste of time and, you know, that it didn't matter how many you had, LinkedIn sort of limited it at like 99 plus. So once you got sort of endorsed for those skills more than 100 times, it didn't show it anyway. But the reality is, if you look on your mobile phone on there, you'll actually see the true count. If you look on desktop, you'll only see the 99 plus. But the reality is they are counting. And the more you get endorsed with those top three skills, the more that tells LinkedIn that people do deem you to be someone of prominence, the word I'm going to use, within those keywords. And so they are more inclined to show you when people search on those terms. So very, very important to have them there, and very, very important to actually get people endorsing you for those skills.
Bit of a selfish question on that one. Is it worth doing any sort of pruning in there at all? Like for my profile, obviously we have quite an experience in the digital agency and really stepping out of that and doing a lot more in the systems space. Is it worth me doing pruning in there or leaving it?
It's look, the top three, as I said, are the most critical. So you'd want to make sure those three for you are all about, you know, systems based business. Now you can have up to 50. So by all means, if you've got ones there that were more about other things that you're involved with, I would leave them there. But I would probably move them. They're all configurable as to where you place them. So I put them more to the bottom than the top.
Yeah, perfect. All right, and then what's next in the chain?
All right, so the next thing that we talk about is the there's a section that allows you to get or give recommendations. Again, if you want a really highly prominent profile, you have to have some recommendations from other LinkedIn users. It's not something I'm suggesting you want to go and gamify or anything like that. But for example, if say I was looking at your profile, which looked pretty good, and someone else who did something similar, and you had 20 recommendations from previous clients saying how amazing your product and service was, and the other one had none, well, immediately the authority transfers to you. So it is somewhere where we want to have, I always say to our clients, let's aim to just get at least 10. It's not something we need to be constantly. I do see people who, go out just trying to get more and more of them. It's far better to get them organically. But in the early days, it's only a matter of like reaching out to people you've worked with. Like for yourself, for example, there would be plenty of people that you've worked with. If you gave them a phone call and said, "Hey, Adam, look, I'm doing some work in my profile. Talking to this dude who reckons he knows what he's talking about," and he said, "I've got to get some recommendations. Would you be open to doing that?" Now, they're all 90% of them are going to say yes. And then you can go onto their profile and literally send them a link to be able to do that. So I highly recommend just doing that. They only have to write two or three sentences, and you're done.
Yeah, perfect. That makes sense. And it's the same with when you're thinking about your website. I think of there are a lot of these different like authority and trust factors that you can put on your website. And the aim of the game is just to get as many of those as you can. Some people like to see more trust factors before they really connect with someone. Some people just need to see less. So you're better off putting as many of the trust factors up there as possible, and then that just gets you to really stand out to someone who's looking for the product or service. And that's really what, filling out the profile about and becoming an all-star on LinkedIn is about. It's kind of showing them that you're putting your best foot forward on the platform.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
All right, what's next?
So the next one is, again, there is a section that is optional, but I'd highly recommend that you add it, which is, believe it or not, around language, what languages you speak. Now, a lot of people think, I just speak English, so, you know, why would I put that there? But again, this is something LinkedIn does look for in how it shows you in searches, and it's a requirement to get that all-star ranking. So it's definitely something that even if you just speak English, just put English. If you speak a second or third language, by all means, add them as well. Even if you know, you had just an elementary understanding of those languages, I would definitely, you know, add a second or third one, as long as it's relevant. But the key thing is, even if English is your only language, add English as a language.
Yeah, perfect. All right. And then I think, are we close to the end?
Really, the only final part is, again, it's not a critical part, but I believe it has value, is to, at the very bottom of your profile, you'll see a section that allows you to sort of link with some what's deemed LinkedIn influencers. These are people sort of like Richard Branson, Gary Vaynerchuk, Arianna Huffington, these type of people. So if you do kind of follow those type of people, all you got to do is go to their profile. You won't be able to connect with them because that section will be disconnected, but you can follow them. Once you follow those people, then they will show up in this section as, you know, influencers that you sort of admire. You can also do it for particular companies or whatever. So I'm not saying you've got to go and have 10 or 20 or 30 of them in there, just a few. So a few influencers that you follow and a few companies that, you know, you might, you might be inspired by Nike or Apple or whatever. So, you know, just go and follow their pages and they'll show up there as well.
Yeah, perfect. And I think, I mean, this really has just become quite an easy cheat sheet or a system that you'd go through. You only really need to apply it once through to your profile to increase the prominence that that profile then has across the LinkedIn platform. So I'm just thinking, I know, Adam, we're just sort of scratching the surface with your different strategies and techniques, and this really is kind of step one. Then we move into needing to be producing great relevant content and getting audience to engage in that, and there's lots of different strategies on that. So I don't know if there are any final points you wanted to make about the profile, and then, yeah, the best place for people to go to find out more about your work.
So, yeah, just so the final thing to say is, if, as you just pointed out, Dave, if you do that, it is a once-off set, almost set and forget. It's once it's done, your profile's optimized, and unless you make a dramatic change in something you're doing, then there's no need to go and tinker with it anymore. But it immediately will put you in the top 5% as opposed to the bottom 95%. So just that simple, you know, immediately puts you at the top of the tree, because the high majority of people don't actually do this. So that's, again, just getting back to the why this is so important. But clearly then, of course, you're then going to start to see that LinkedIn's showing you in more searches. You're going to be getting more connection requests. So the magic starts to happen almost within sort of 2 weeks. And, you know, understanding that you've done this work on your profile. As far as, if you wanted to connect with us right now, probably the best way is just on my personal website, which is adamhoolahan.com, and it links off to all the free stuff that we have, all the programs that we run, and webinars and things that we have. So I'd go there.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you again for, yeah, just always being generous with your time and information. I know it looked very helpful. Just when you think about where LinkedIn is right now, and whenever you're on the web, it's all about trying to find these rising tides, because, you know, all boats float on a rising tide. If you can get in front of a trend as it's going up, you just need to be a little bit better than what everybody else is doing on the platform, and then it becomes very easy to stand out. And that's what Adam's work is best at, focusing, making you stand out and more prominent on the platform. So again, a big thank you for your time and insights, Adam.
My pleasure, Dave.